From the studios in Eugene, Oregon, it's Oregon Update with your hosts, Cliff and Robin. You can join Cliff and Robin by dialing 646-721-9887 or by email at talk@krbnradio.com. And now, here's your hosts, Cliff and Robin.
Hello there. How are you?
I'm doing okay. It's sunny. It's warm. It doesn't even feel like Oregon. In fact, when I was going through doing the research for today's program and, you know, acting as the producer, I wasn't even going to touch at all on the Trayvon Martin case. I don't want to get into it just a second because that's why we're doing the openings because we do have comments on it. Yes, I know.
As if you can leave it alone. My God, that's the only thing they're talking about on the news. It's over and done with, and they're talking about it. Well,
we'll touch on that in a few minutes. But since we are going to talk about it, despite the fact I didn't really want to talk about it just for the reasons that Cliff mentioned, what I would like to talk about, though, is a couple of very important things. Then we've got a What the Heck Are They Thinking segment just for a little bit of levity on this. And one of those two things I'd like to talk about, first of all, is how you can talk to us. Cliff, you want to tell the audience how they can do that?
They could phone.
Hey, that's a nice In fact, there's this new medium. I think it's more of a fad than anything else, known as the Internet.
Oh, no. Let's not do that. The telephone is 646. You know, the thing is, why don't they use that? Why don't you use the Internet? If you have the Internet, go online and talk to us on Skype, because there's no charge. If you're trying to call 646-721-9887, if that's out of your calling area, it's going to cost you money. Of course, everybody has telephones that are good forever and don't cost you money now anyway. So
okay, so you're saying that if somebody goes to our website, blogtalkradio.com/KRBN, and actually clicks on the Skype button up there, that they would actually save their minutes and everything else instead of calling 646-721-9887.
Right, because there's no charge to do it on Skype. And the quality is probably I was going to say it's probably going to be better. It's probably not going to be better. It'll be as good or better, because telephones have been getting better every year.
That's right.
But the thing is, still a telephone. You know, you're still talking to this little 1.5-inch piece of, stuff.
Well, that depends, unless you've got a tablet now that some people are using as a telephone. Which looks really funny, by the way, having this big thing up to your ear.
You know, I saw them on there was a news program, and they were holding these tablets up, taking pictures with them, and it's amazing what tablets are doing now. We're not going to have telephones or cameras. We don't have cameras anymore at all. It's all telephones.
I mean, I got a Galaxy 2, and it takes excellent pictures. In fact, it does really good for it works. The screen is good enough. It works good as a television. It takes excellent pictures. I can listen to the radio on it. I can surf the Internet. I can do a whole bunch of things on that thing, except for one.
What's that?
It works. It doesn't work very good as a telephone, and it won't work with Bluetooth once it goes into sleep mode. So it does.
It won't work with Bluetooth?
No, it won't work with Bluetooth once it goes into sleep mode, and the apps for it, I haven't found a good app for it anyways to make it work with Bluetooth. So in other words, it does everything else except for the main thing that it's called.
That's amazing. It really is amazing.
Yeah.
They're trying to make telephones do absolutely everything. And, of course, telephones don't have any resemblance to what a telephone used to be.
No. However, you can get, for your smartphone, you can get an adapter that has an old-style telephone headset.
Yeah, I saw that on TV the other day. I mean, why would I want to do that? Then you have to go somewhere, you have to walk to a certain part of the room to pick it up to answer it. I mean, I suppose you could carry it around with you, but that's an awfully big thing.
Yes.
It's a whole new world, and it's beyond me already.
Well, next time you go in, folks, next time you go in, you're shopping for your new cell phone or you're upgrading, and they're telling you about the quality processor, how much storage it has, all the things it can do, just seriously, after the salesperson gets through describing it, seriously look them straight in the eyes and go, how well does it work as a telephone?
Yeah, really.
And they will just give you a blank stare you won't believe.
Probably they don't know.
I don't know. Anyways, the second way you can get a hold of us, by the way, if you are one of the 3,000 and growing people that are listening, not the people that are growing, I guess they are growing, but anyways, our numbers are going up. when we're not broadcasting,
you got me.
You can send us an email, talk@krbnradio.com. And a quick show announcement. Due to a change of where we make most of our money, at least I do, my day job, they say don't quit it. Anyways, we will be moving from our Saturday slot to Wednesday, not this week, but starting next week. We'll have the same time slot, 1 p.m. Pacific time. But next Wednesday, not this coming, but the Wednesday afterwards, we'll be moving to, we won't be broadcasting on Saturday anymore. So just a little show announcement there.
We only stayed there for about a year.
We did.
Each time, every year or so, we got to change something to keep you alert.
That's right. And, of course, it wouldn't be anything without slamming Blog Talk Radio, because I'm not a millionaire like the guy that's taken over the network, which I won't even mention his name. But anyways, no, our network would have been growing a little bit more if they stopped making their changes and hiding us in their mounds or whatever. Who knows? Maybe this would be our day job instead. But at the moment, we're going to be moving because, dang it, I haven't won the lottery, and Cliff and I need to make money. So that's what we're going to be doing.
Well, I don't need to make money. I don't live on any money. I hardly even live at all.
Hell, you live in the doghouse behind the studio.
No, I live in a, and actually, it's way behind the studio, 20 miles.
Yeah, I Steve Cliff, he's actually in a different city and not living in a doghouse, except when he gets in trouble.
It's interesting. I bet you most people, unless we mention it again, that a lot of people don't even know we're in separate cities. We're not looking at each other at all.
No, we're not. In fact, I was going to make a joke about having a face for radio, but that's neither here or there. 646-721-9887. Again, unfortunately, we're going to talk a little bit about the Trayvon Martin, George Zimmerman case, and Obama and the Attorney General's response and others. But first, I want to get into a little levity here and things in the news.
You have got to be kidding me. What the heck were they thinking? Can you actually believe they did that?
It's Robin's What the Heck Are They Thinking Award, where Robin picks out some of the dumbest and most ridiculous headlines of the week. And now, with this week's picks, here's Robin.
Okay, this week's award goes out to Deer Trail, Colorado, which you probably never heard of.
Never have.
And actually, this would be more of a kudos award because of what they're doing. It's kind of the whole city itself is kind of doing their own little, hopefully harmless protest. And what they're protesting is the federal government sending drones out over their cities. And so as a way to kind of send a message, the little small town of Deer Trail is considering an ordinance that would create a drone hunting license and bounties for unmanned aerial vehicles. The ordinance states that the town of Deer Trail shall issue a $100 reward for any shooter who presents a valid hunting license and the following identifiable parts for unmanned aerial vehicles whose markings and configurations are consistent with those used on any similar aircraft to be owned and operated by the United States federal government. They said that they would also just pay $25 for one that's not as identifiable. The license itself is $25, valid for 1 year, and is limited to you can only shoot, you can use any shotgun, 12 gauge or smaller, having a barrel length of 18 inches or greater. So basically, it's not really powerful enough to damage anything, but it's just, you know.
It's not?
No.
That's too bad.
I don't think a 12 gauge would, but they say it's more of a symbolic thing that the about drones encompassing their airspace than anything else.
So if I come dragging in a drone, that I win.
Yeah, they actually said they are putting aside $100 in case somebody actually does bring in parts of a drone. But it'd be kind of interesting, too, because I remember a story a while back where one government agency sent a drone into this farmer's field and found out why that wasn't a good idea.
Now when you see these things in the air, do you know they're drones?
Yeah, it's pretty obvious. Partly because of the lack of cockpit. Drones can be, from full size down to actually about the size of a model airplane and still take pictures and do whatever it wants to do. So,
well, I hope we don't have a bunch of people out there shooting airplanes down by mistake. That would be kind of bad.
Yeah.
But on the same token, I'm quite happy to see them shoot down drones. You know, it's ridiculous. We shouldn't have drones over the top of us in the first place. There's no reason. Well, I don't know. There can be reasons for drones, but we'll go into that later.
Yes. Yeah, they say that there's actually a qualification. You have to be at least 21 years of old to go shooting drones. So
I'll make sure I am.
Okay.
That's ridiculous. This drone thing is so crazy. I mean, I wish I had a lot of money. I'd buy a couple drones, run them around. I don't know what I'd do with them. But.
Well, actually, here's what's interesting is that, I mean, you can get drones starting at, for probably a couple hundred dollars. But if you were to go around and fly one around your neighborhood, and especially if it's happen to be somewhere where you could be peering into somebody's window, and at that point I think that would be a violation of privacy issue.
Well, certainly it is. I don't care how you peer in somebody's window, that's a violation of privacy.
Right.
Privacy. Yeah.
I want to make sure that I get my pronunciations correct.
Well, everything on television nowadays is done by the British. We don't have any American announcers or speakers or anything anymore. It's all British.
Quite right.
And I'm not sure why. I wonder if in Britain, I wonder if everything is in English.
I don't know.
Oh, well.
I just like considering, when you're hungry, what are you going to do? I don't know. Let's go, Chinese, Taiwanese. You wonder about other countries. Oh, what do you want? Oh, hi, well, American. Let's go get a Big Mac.
Well, that brings up another thing. It's interesting, depending on where you are, Russia or other places, you can buy a Big Mac and it's not the same.
Yeah.
Which is kind of interesting. You'd think, what if I want a Big Mac, just like it is in America, and I'm in Russia? What do I ask for then?
I don't know. Good question.
First of all, I probably can't ask for it because I don't speak the language, so whatever.
Details. Speaking of McDonald's, and unfortunately I deleted the off my notes, they did a survey of over 1,000 customers to McDonald's and gave them a nutritionist list. And apparently there's different requirements for men and women, and they wanted to compare what the recommended healthy food for McDonald's as far as calorie count goes versus what they were actually buying. And they found during the survey that most people really didn't care.
No. I don't go to McDonald's to get approved food. I go to it's good. I mean, supposedly, the first reason is supposed to be because it's fast. But that's not why I go to McDonald's. Is it fast? Because I go there because I don't have to cook it.
Well, and I go there because, the food's okay, but it's consistent and it's fast.
Well, if I'm going to have a hamburger, I'd much rather have a fast food hamburger, whether it be McDonald's or Wendy's or one of those, rather than cook it myself at home.
Right. Well, I guess it just kind of backs up the thing that, like Michael Bloomberg has been doing, saying that, stay out of our food. If we reserve the right to be fat.
Well, you know, that's the thing. And actually, McDonald's and all the rest of those have been addressing that fact. They've been doing what they can to keep the fat content down. But, you know, the point is, eating fatty foods or eating fat by itself is not what makes you fat.
Right.
It's eating too much of anything that makes you fat.
Well, what gets me angry is just, okay, like candy bars. You know, I mean, you and I grew up with penny candy. You know, for a buck, you can make a really good haul at your store. You know, I bought a candy bar last week. It's a Thousand Island bar or whatever, $1,000 bar or whatever it was, something like that, which I think has devalued itself because I hadn't had one forever. And I got this little itty bitty tiny bite sized thing. It's like, what the hell is this? But there's actually a mandate now on how many calories a candy bar can have. By the way, I found the article, and it's the suggested limit, by the way, emphasis on the suggested, is no more than 650 calories at lunchtime for women, and men should not exceed 800 calories. Well, that isn't very much when you really get right down to it.
Well, you're not supposed to eat them all at once. You can have, isn't that three times a day or something like that?
Something like that. But this was their suggestion for lunch, and it was according to a study by the American Journal of Public Health.
Okay, so 800 calories is the limit. Did you look up how much a Big Mac is?
I would probably assume.
It's about three times that.
Yeah, exactly.
And I don't care, as you were saying. I really don't care because, you know, in the first place, when I was buying hamburgers, and there were, you know, it's been a while because I don't go out and eat anymore, but when I was buying hamburgers, I didn't buy a Big Mac anyway. I bought three of them.
Yes. Yeah, I always liked even numbers myself, at least two.
Well, you know, and interestingly enough, actually, when I was really into buying hamburgers and I was buying them because I was on the road going someplace or something like that, that was when I lived in Yakima. And I don't remember, there was two or three places that had them, but there were five for a dollar hamburgers. And I used to buy five of them.
Yeah, like, why not, you know?
Yeah. You know, and the thing is, before the day was over, I'd have eaten them. That's the problem. I didn't buy five of them and then maybe throw one away or two away or something like that. I hate the damn things. So the heck with you.
Okay, here it is from the McDonald's website. A Big Mac, which is 7.6 ounces or 215 grams for those of you actually counting. Yes. Well, we've got to convert it, you know.
Yeah.
Is 550 calories.
Really?
Yes.
Is that all?
However, the quarter pounder with bacon and jalapeno ranch is 610 calories. So actually, the Big Mac is better for you.
Well, something with jalapenos or anything like that, I don't want anyway. So I'm all for a Big Mac.
Now,
that's surprising. I thought Big Macs were a whole lot more than that. Well, now I can have five of them.
Exactly. The highest calorie hamburger, that McDonald's has, is a double quarter pounder with cheese at 750 calories.
You know, that isn't too bad. I'm surprised. I'm really surprised. They've done a lot to fix that, obviously.
Yeah.
I wonder, are they frying their hamburgers yet, or are they baking them now?
I don't know. But if you're counting carbohydrates, all the hamburgers range from about 43 to 55.
Well, I've stopped counting carbohydrates. I it's interesting. I'll have to tell you. I'll have to say this. Since I've been home from the hospital the last 2 years, I've only gained 1 pound in the 2 years. But everything has changed. I mean, where it is on me has changed. I mean, it's all gone to the middle. But I haven't gained any weight. That's weird. I went to the doctor, just about 3 days or 4 days ago, something like that, and got weight again. And I was only 1 pound more than I was last time I went in there, which is effectively nothing. But my stomach in the middle, has gotten bigger.
Yes.
Weird. You know, we're sort of off subject a little bit here.
Here, but we got into drones to calories. But anyway, 646-721-9887. The Zimmerman trial is out there all over the place, pros, cons. There is, even here in Eugene, there was more than 100 people that attended a rally screaming justice for Trayvon, which is kind of interesting. Of course, then again, Eugene doesn't need an excuse to rally against something. This is generally the same people looking for something to do. But it's interesting about how many people are getting out there, even...
Okay, wait, before you go any farther, when was that rally? Was it before or after Obama spoke?
I believe it was before. Okay, but yeah, it was just right after.
He's making it worse.
He's making it worse. In fact, what I was just going to say is that even, of course, I don't care for this artist anyways, the boss, Bruce Springsteen, is even giving a tribute to Martin during his Wrecking Ball tour. So others are just, in my opinion, they're out there doing it for their own self-publicity. You know, they really don't care.
No. Not him. The thing is, this whole thing has been perpetrated. I mean, I don't think it would have been half as bad if people had kept their damn mouth shut.
Right.
I.e., certain, well...
I totally agree. I mean, if Obama didn't open up his mouth, saying that if I had a son, it would be Trayvon Martin or whatever, and he had to... The president came out, I believe it was yesterday, during a normal press briefing. It was unscheduled, unteleprompted, which if you read the transcripts, it even includes the stuttering that you can always tell when the president's speaking live because, he's kind of like,
if he doesn't have it written down, he has to think of things. And I have personally decided, I mean, ready for, or not,
okay.
I've gone back to almost my original position, and that is Obama is stupid. He is absolutely, positively stupid. He cannot say something, he cannot do anything, and he cannot think by himself. He has all these people who think for him. And what he's done this time is he's proved how stupid he is by not paying any attention to those people who tell him what to do, and he's gone on television and spoken for himself. And he is so... God. The man has no brains. He has no... Well, anyway.
Well, here's in a way I'll agree, but I'll disagree. It's not the fact that he's stupid. He just doesn't really get the responsibilities of his position. It'd be like the CEO of a company coming out and giving his personal opinion of politics in front of his employees. You know, there's a time and place for it. The president... You know, as we're supposed to respect the office, you know, has his place. But coming out like he did in this press conference, and I mean interrupting a normal press briefing, and making a statement like this, you know, he says, and I'm quoting here, you know, when Trayvon Martin was first shot, I said that could have been my son. Another way of saying is that Trayvon Martin. Could have been me 35 years ago, pointing out that very few African-American men who haven't had the experience, or there are very few American men who haven't had the experience of walking across the street and hearing the locks click on doors of cars. He said, it happened to me, he says, at least before I was a senator.
Right. Not right. Now, that's okay. What the hell happened when he became a senator? How does anybody know he's a senator? You don't walk down the street with a sign on your back that says you're a senator. You don't dress differently just because you're a senator. So if it's all of a sudden when he was a senator it changed, then it wasn't that changed. It was him that changed.
Yeah. Well, like you're saying, you know, I felt, and I could be totally off base, I'm just going by my own experience, is that, you know, working with people of all different races, you know, in large corporations that I've worked in, that what somebody's race wasn't as big of a deal as it used to be, that we have actually grown up until this administration. Now you can't say anything without it being racial. This whole thing about the Trayvon Martin case, if the president didn't open up his mouth, it would have just been another case, you know, like the hundreds of others going on throughout the nation.
Yep.
And these people that are out there protesting, there's thousands of people across the U.S. that are protesting, saying justice for Trayvon. Well, like I say, it means nothing to them. They don't personally know them. They're just doing it for their own personal recognition. And the question that I put out there is, Zimmerman got his head bashed because of Trayvon. That's one of the evidence. That's a fact. And, you know, the evidence is out there to pass it up, to back it up. But what if Martin had successfully killed Zimmerman on that attack? Would we still be saying the same thing?
Nope. In fact, it would be totally different. And, of course, that I'm going to somewhat stay away from that because that's an opinion. That's we only have that only can talk about that as an opinion. And my opinion, I'm not black, so my opinion is going to be different from the people who are. The fact that that Obama has actually gone in front of the entire United States of America and spoke to them, and it was repeated over and over and over and over and over on the news stations and the news times around the world, around the country, probably around the world. But that's what's wrong. The fact that he didn't, you don't expect the president to be talking race relations. And he was doing fairly good up to this point of not being a racist, but now he absolutely positively is. He is the ultimate racist of all times.
Well, and it doesn't stop there. Like I was saying earlier, Eric Holder, it's also, in my opinion, inappropriate for Eric Holder to go in front of groups like the NAACP and to as I'm reviewing my notes here, for him to go in front of the NAACP and actually ask for information on how they can put civil charges against Trayvon Martin, including giving out a email address, which is sanford.florida@usdoj.gov, asking for input if anybody has any information against Zimmerman. Now, the thing is, my point is that, okay, fine. Well, first of all, it's not appropriate, in my opinion, for the attorney general to be going and talk about this case, period. Much less, okay, if you want to go speak before the NAACP, okay, that's one thing. Are you also speaking in front of other groups besides the NAACP? You know, are you just totally talking to people of color?
Well, the one thing is this is the first and only sitting cabinet member of 225 years, to be cited for contempt of Congress.
Good point. That's right. We still haven't heard about Fast and Furious and other things that have not been answered yet.
Well, I just the whole thing is we got people that are sticking their nose not only where it doesn't belong, but where they don't understand.
Right.
And that's what's going to get them in big trouble. And you know, what are we – you almost have to recommend that in 2 years or whenever the next major election is, you need to clean house. I mean, absolutely clean house. Just get rid of everybody and start again. But then when you start over again, who knows who you're getting then?
Well, as I said, until we get a real checks and balance – system in there. A couple years ago, I asked the question: what happens if we get a rogue president in office? And you know, the response is that's why we have the Senate and the House. But what happens when all of them decide that the Constitution gets in the way and they decide they don't want to follow it?
That's a question. It's a good question. We've got to get back to. I mean, what do we have if we don't have the Constitution? That's all we've got. And if we don't agree with the Constitution, then we should do something about changing it. But rather than change it, let's at least read it and pay attention and try to get along with it. That's the problem with our country is, again, everybody is fat and happy. And they want to sit on their dead butt and do nothing. And they won't even read. They won't even read the Constitution. Read it and understand it, because it's a big document. You can't just say, well, I read it a few years ago, and I know exactly what it says. Maybe there's a couple people in this world who have, what do they call that? You can remember absolutely everything you've read. I don't remember what that's called. But anyway, not enough of them have that. Nobody, I don't think, remembers what's going on. I mean, it's on our website. It's on, the Constitution is there. You can read the whole thing, and it's available. Do it. As a matter of fact, it's one of the, to be honest with you, one of the most read pages on the website.
Yes, you in the back. You have a question?
Yes. What's the name of that website?
KRBNradio.com. That's easy to remember.
Easy, yes. And,
yes.
And who is that person that's in my studio? Anyway. Go away.
Anyway, it's really upset that people of importance, Attorney General Eric Holder and the president, I think, because see, we don't know what the president's purpose was when he became president. In the first place, I don't think Obama had very much to do with Obama becoming president. I think there was a whole lot of other people involved, and those people have been pulling his strings ever since, and they still are. And that's what happened. He was told by a great many people that were his advisors, don't go on the air. Don't go on and talk about this. And yet he did it anyway. And it just proves to me that this man is not to be trusted. I don't care who he is or what he does. He is not to be trusted because he just doesn't understand what he's doing.
Well, yeah, that's the point I was making, taking the role of the presidency, actually understanding, you know, what is appropriate and what is not. I mean, coming out in, you know, I read the transcripts when he interrupted the press briefing, and although the news media is swinging it the way they want it, you know, he's promoting race, he's doing that, but if you actually read the damn thing, you know, what he's doing is he's basically coming out with his opinion that, yes, there is an inequity in the way people, they're black people are still treated a certain way, you know, white people are treated a certain way, Mexicans are treated or Hispanics are treated a certain way. I mean, we'd like to all just be in one pot per se, and that's going to take a while to do. I mean, but I guess what I'm saying is that there's a time and a place, and there's also, depending on where you're at in the public eye or the office that you hold, sometimes you just got to keep your mouth shut. It's just inappropriate.
Yes, and this was one of them, and he didn't do it, I mean, you'd think he'd have learned after the first time he opened his big mouth, but no, he doesn't learn. I think he's determined to change the complexity of our society to go his way, and I don't think he's got enough time left to do that. I'm really kind of curious as to what's going to happen to him when he goes out of office, when he loses office, because I think I think he's just going to disappear. I hope.
Well, I doubt it. It's probably him and Michelle, because they like the being in the limelight and stardom, et cetera. But they'll probably do book deals and speeches and everything else. That usually what they do. Assuming, of course, that they'll even. Here's something too. I'm just going to throw this out there because I just had this fleeting thought. Typically, when a new president comes into office, you know, the staff starts cleaning everything out, and there's a, you know, easy transition. What would happen if a president and his family decides, I like it here, I ain't leaving? You know, and the new president comes in, are they going to take the Secret Service and physically boot him out? I mean, I know that'll never happen, but it's just one of those, you know, fleeting thoughts about what if.
Actually,
in the news, the president has been evicted from the White House.
Actually, I think they do help him move out. I think the whole thing is they get moved to what's that hotel nearby, and they get moved to that whether they like it or not.
Oh, the retirement president's home?
No.
Or
no,
president's home?
No, it's not. It's not. It's a hotel, and it's been in the news a couple of times, and they move them to that, and then they can take their time to do whatever they want to. But the point is, is the press going to listen to what they say once they're no longer in office? And that's the thing I'm interested in, is how much press time is our press going to give to Obama once he no longer holds the office. And, of course, I don't usually like to postulate on information like that, because you don't know. It depends a lot on who's going to win the office. You know, is it going to be Republican or is it going to be Democrat? Who is it going to be? I mean, we don't even know who's running yet. So,
well, that's what's going to happen. It's just like in this last election, you know, trying to get back into the limelight because he's jealous of the limelight that his wife is in. It's like Clinton, for example, you know, jumping in and trying to support a candidate, where actually what he's doing is just getting out there trying to,
well, the book deals are kind of falling apart. I got to get out there and get my name out there.
Well, last time I heard Clinton say something, he was sort of very carefully trying to not say something about Obama. Obama is becoming a pariah, and I'm hoping he'll stay that way. And then the press is not going to talk about them anymore. You know, it may be, who knows, maybe Mrs. Obama will run for office.
Don't even suggest it.
Well, it's possible to happen. There's nobody on the Democratic side ready to run that I know of. Who's going to step up?
You know what would be scarier than Michelle running?
What's that?
Nancy Pelosi.
No, I don't think she has even a chance. I don't think so.
Yeah, that's right, because she wouldn't have anybody, because she's a butt kisser.
Yeah.
We got to pass the bill to know what's in it.
Oh, you keep using that, and you don't do the whole thing, which is you're doing something that you upset for the while I get mad at it.
That's okay if I get you mad. Yeah, get you riled up.
Well, you do that all the time, and you don't. You're the one who gets upset when other people do things out of context, so to speak, and you're constantly doing it because that's not what she said. I don't know exactly what she said, but every time I hear that speech, I think of you. And
well, thank you. No, but the whole point that I guess where I'm going with all that is that if we learned anything about this administration, is really behind the scenes about how much we send people. I know we're getting a whole off track here off the Zimmerman thing, but we send people into office to do a job, not just to become millionaires. And then we hear about, you know, they pass bills that affect everybody's life, like Obamacare, and they don't even take the time to read it.
That's true. You know, some of the things are so big that you can't read them. And in fact, I really think reading Obamacare at this point is moot, because I don't think it's going to continue to be in existence for long, this couple years or so. And then I think something will take place of it. I mean, I don't think the idea is going to go away, because we spent too many years trying to get something like that passed to give up on it entirely. But it's not going to go through the years as it stands. It's going to change a lot.
Well, there's already changes being made to it. In fact, more exemptions of it. The president came out recently and just said that because it's kind of confusing the way it's written, that they're delaying implementation for 1 year to the requirement of businesses with over 50 employees to have to start offering insurance. Was it $3,000 or $1,000 penalty per employee? I forget which it is.
I don't know. I have almost religiously stayed away from that, because it's not, as I say, I don't think it's going to continue to be in effect. To read it or pay attention to it or to understand it is, I think, a mistake.
All right. Well, the thing is that, I'm just using it as an example, as one of the few things that actually come out of the federal government that really affects each individual, whether they like it or not. And, I mean, because a lot of things get passed every day in the federal government that we don't hear about that doesn't really directly affect our daily lives. And this is one bill that, especially around tax time, does. In fact, when I changed jobs recently, I was surprised when I got a letter in the mail from my previous insurance provider offering me they gave me a certificate of compliance.
Yes.
For the health care that I'm supposed to, you know, present to the IRS at the end of the year to show that I was in compliance with Obamacare.
Really?
Yes. Or otherwise known as the Affordable Care Act.
Hmm. Okay. Interesting.
Yes. So whether people like it or not, this is what's going to happen. And the one of the things that I bring up is that if you are, especially in this economy, you know, with the unemployment rates, if you're going along, say, half the year and you get laid off or fired or for whatever reason you're unemployed, and you don't qualify for a low income because your gross income is, because I always go by the gross, is at a certain level, you still may be required to, if you can't afford to continue health care for $400, $500, $600 a month, depending on what you have and size of your family, you're going to have to, which when it goes into full effect could be anywhere up to a maximum, I think, of $2,100, $2,200. And when you're struggling, if you can't find work, I mean, you're not going to have the money to pay that penalty. Now you're dealing with the IRS, and we know how they are when they don't get paid.
Well, I'm all for... Well, we've had people who said abolish the IRS. You can't do that. I mean, somebody has to collect the money. And we have to collect the money because somebody has to pay for how we run the government. I don't think we need to pay for as much of it as we do, but and that needs to be repaired or relived. But we can't abolish the IRS. We just need to revamp it and make it an IRS. Maybe make it just do its job and not all things for all people.
Right.
Anyway.
646-721-9887. If you have an opinion on the IRS, McDonald's, Zimmerman, or anything else on your mind, give us a call. 646-721-9887. You can also join us in the chat room right now while we're live. You can try after we're live, but you'll be talking to yourself.
You know, I'm curious, I went and looked up this business about who on the Democratic side is going to be running for president in 2016, and the only person they mention is Hillary Clinton, and she said she doesn't want to, although she's left it particularly open, and so she might, but they haven't got any other names, nobody else is even owning up to it. I mean, they don't have anybody to run, so... we're in a whole new world around here.
I don't know. Would anybody with what's been going on want to run for the White House and follow up on it? I mean, literally the 2008.
To see what?
The last election. That was a joke, especially on the Republican side. I mean, it was treated like a circus.
Well, that was because of Romney. Romney didn't agree with what he was. I mean, he didn't believe in it in the first place. He had run it too many times, and he didn't believe he could do it. I mean, if he'd really been sincere about running for office, he came very close to winning.
Yeah.
Because, I mean, it was just within a matter of points, and he would have won. And if he'd have worked at it, he could have won. But he just let it fall. And who knows why. I think something happened, or maybe he got... Maybe he got talked to.
The only thing I know is that the American people were so desperate for a good candidate. That's why when Sarah Palin and Donald Trump, who teased about...
Donald Trump, I wouldn't...
I know, but...
I commit Harry Carey.
Well, people were so desperate that they were seriously looking at the Donald to run. Because, you know, who do we have to choose from, really? I mean, you get all these people that start out in the beginning and then they drop out all of a sudden. And the news services, the media, decides who they feel is going to be the actual major candidate, and that's on the people that get invited to these, what do they call it, debates and get the news headlines or, you know, and then, like you say, it costs so much to run that there could be people out there that would be fully qualified and would really be an excellent president, but they're not wealthy.
It would be interesting to see what the Donald, how he would do in one of these debates. How he'd fall all over himself, I think.
Well, he probably would.
You know, his answer to almost every question would be to change the question and answer something else.
Yeah. You just can't go through and just say you're fired. Well, actually, maybe you should.
I don't know. Maybe. See, you don't know who's making the statements when on the program on a television show. Who's does he listen to the writer? Is he doing the writing? I don't think he's doing the writing. So if he's not doing the writing, can he speak without? Of course, if he's running for president, someone else would still be doing the writing. So maybe it'd be all right.
Yeah.
Again, that's what happened already. So we got to figure out who's doing the writing for these things. Got to get somebody on there who can think enough for themselves that they can at least direct how the writing is going.
Well, yeah, there's the thing, being able to speak without a teleprompter.
Well, I don't think, you know, well, it's become apparent that Obama can't. He can speak, but what he's got to say is something that's not that I'm not interested in hearing, and something that's not good for the country. I think he's done more harm for the country and for his race, if you're ready for that, than anybody in the last 40 years.
Mm-hmm. Oh, I totally agree with that.
If not the last 225 years.
Well, and like I said, that, you know, nothing else that's come out of this is that we need to, well, it's just sad that the only time that people really get frustrated and involved, as it seems, is when somebody mentions race. And I don't know if that's just if people really care about it or if that's just the way the media is swinging it.
Actually, I don't think anybody cared about it. I know there were people, there were the black people that were demonstrating in the streets, and some of them, and they're going to do that for anything. excuse me. But they weren't really getting carried away with anything until he opened his mouth. There are always the people, Jesse Jackson and some of these people, who've got to carry it to an extreme, and they always do. And for some reason or other, the media keeps listening to them. You have to, because they are a public speaker, and they do have something to say. And as media, you can't ignore them, but you don't have to play them up as big. Now, as when it comes around to the president opening his big fat mouth and sticking his foot in it, you almost have to listen to that. You almost have to take that. We don't have to carry it as far as we did, but every network in the country and probably in the world said something about that. I think that's a captive audience. When you're the president, you what you say is listened to, and you better have something worthwhile saying or keep your damn mouth shut. And he hasn't kept his mouth shut, and the man needs to be conked in the head and made to think a little bit. But I don't think he can. You know, if you do conk him in the head and make him think, he's going to think the wrong things anyway. So you're damned if you do and damned if you don't.
And you're speaking figuratively, of course.
Of course. Of course. Well, not necessarily. You know, when you slap somebody upside the head to make them think, I wouldn't do that. I don't do that to anybody else, and so I wouldn't do it to the president, but I would sure think about it.
Yeah, okay. I'm just trying to keep you out of trouble.
Yeah, I know. I need to be kept out of trouble.
Okay, that's right.
Open mouth and search for it on a regular basis.
Especially when you're on national network.
Yep.
So there are rules and guidelines for when you're speaking nationally, what you can say and what you can't say, and what will come back to bite you.
Well, this is liable to come back to bite me, and I really, of course, I'm getting so old, I don't care. I don't have much time to worry about it. They can do with that. You know, it's just a waste of time. Hello?
Hello?
Oh, I just opened a page and, oh, okay.
Well, stop playing with that and give out the phone number.
It's 646-721-9887. We haven't had anybody call. Give us a call. Boy, does Hillary Clinton look old. She does. I mean, she looks really old. She's wrinkled and everything. 646-721-9887. We haven't had anybody call. And you got to have an opinion about what we're talking about, because everybody does. I mean, people are out in the streets fighting over it. And doing all sorts of things, you must have an opinion. Give us a call and tell us what it is. 646-721-9887. You don't even have to write it down. It's not that hard. 721-9887. Again, go to krbnradio.com and click on the Skype thing and talk to us on Skype. That'd be fine.
Yeah.
I mean, you could just bring up Skype. You don't, I guess, have to click on Caribbean Radio, but you can. I don't know how to do it, come to think of it. I've never tried that.
Well, and one of my bitch and moans to, I'm going to vent here a little bit again against Blog Talk Radio. Anybody that's familiar with Blog Talk Radio knows that, you know, it can be a free or a paid service, and we're paying as a subscriber to it. And the first thing you come to is this Travis Smiley Network thing, and that's what it looks like. Although they did finally, I guess because other hosts have complained, took his picture down from being a full page thing. But the thing that's really hard with it, they keep changing everything and they make it harder and harder for new people to find the networks, unless you're one of the premium subscribers. I mean, you know, you're paying hundreds of dollars a month, and in your featured program makes it harder to find. So sometimes that's... with us, we're buried way down somewhere, and just when we check the show while we're live to see how easy it is for new people to find us, it's like, you know, I can't even find us.
Yeah, really. No kidding. So, it is hard.
Yes, it is hard, but, you know, in that regards as well, you can also follow the program by clicking on the follow button, and hopefully with the with my new schedule change that I'll also get a chance to put some more updates. We do have a Facebook page and a Twitter page, which apologies for not really using. I admittedly, I'm one of those people that don't really care that much for Facebook. I know a lot of people do like it. We do have a page. I haven't had the time or to really get into it, but maybe I'll start, you know, getting in and updating that to create more two-way conversation between us. But at any rate, if you do have something that you would like to talk about or an opinion or would like us to talk about it, always feel free to send us an email, talk@krbnradio.com. And of course, if you are a prince or somebody overseas that wants to offer us $75 million, if we send $100 back, you send me the check first and we'll talk.
Yeah, really? Yeah. Yep, that's the thing. Yeah, if you want to donate, I guess we need to put a place up so you can donate, don't we? We don't have a donate page anymore, do we?
I don't know if we do or not, but at some point we are going to have some merchandise, KRBN Radio merchandise coming out, T-shirts, mugs, et cetera. You know, I got it kind of set up. I just couldn't need to. This problem when the previous job that I had was a real-time consumer, and this one here should alleviate a lot of that so we can get more focus on the radio. So if you want to...
Yeah. This business of working for a living, you got to stop that.
I know it.
I tell you. But I tell you, I was just really upset about this. I mean, I can't say enough. I literally can't say enough about the Obama problem, because I will get in trouble. I will have hitman out for me or something or whatever, because if I said what I really mean about Obama, we'd be in big trouble. I'm just so sick of him being there. And the thing is, like I say, if he decides he wants to say something, everybody listens. And my God, they're so far off base when they're listening to him. So you're in so much trouble because he's got such an off-base opinion of what he wants him to be, what he wants the government to be, what he wants the United States to be. It's a shame.
Yeah. By the way, just if anybody's trying to find us, if you go into Block Talk Radio Live, you may not find us being advertised, but we are in the live chat list. Wow.
Okay.
So we are somewhere, at least on that page, without having to go through 26,076 live episodes that are coming up. Our book.
Really?
We're kind of a pee in the pod. And not to get your mind out of the gutter. But anyways, despite Obama, I think we should look at the big picture, the presidency altogether, and redefine what we expect out of the president. I mean, I expect the president to go back to the Constitution, for the whole reason of having a president is to be a leader of our country, not to give out and give his personal opinions on individual crime cases, unless it's, you know, like the Massachusetts bomber or something like that, you know, something that, you know, somebody blows up a major building and, you know, it's worth nationwide news or a security threat. Yeah, come on out and talk about it, President. But if it's just, you know, somebody holding up a convenience store, you know, that's not something that deserves national attention. I mean, that happens every day, unfortunately.
I was just looking here, trying to figure out how easy it is to find us online. And if you put KRBN Radio and I put down Blog Talk Radio space KRBN Radio, and we do come up.
Yes. Or if you just do a Google search for KRBN, we do come up. In fact, last time I checked, we were number one on the list.
But does the show that we're doing come up? The live show?
That depends. But see, that's why we need you, the listening audience, all 3,000 of you plus, to spread the word, and even more so, spread the phone calls. What are
you? God.
Yes, as Cliff was.
That was a Memorial Day show by KRBN News Talk Radio. I don't know what that was, but I clicked it off before I found out. Anyway.
I know we're getting way off track here, but Cliff, you being a seasoned broadcast professional, knows you don't cough into the microphone.
Well, as a seasoned broadcast professional, in most instances, I have a volume control right in front of my hand, and right now I don't. I have a volume control there, but my God, I got to go underneath and behind the computer monitor. It's difficult not to.
Yes.
So I just said the heck with it.
I digress. This is why people don't listen. 646-721-9887, which is because we can be serious and we cannot be serious. You know, that's the whole thing is, you know, we're an opinion news show.
And if you have something that you want to talk about that's more important than what we're talking about, 646-721-9887. Call and tell us what it is, and we'll talk about what you want to talk about. I guarantee it.
Yes. We always have something to talk about. Even sometimes it's related to the topic.
Yeah, I mean, you know, whatever you want to talk about, we'll talk about it, whether we understand it or not, or whether we know what we're talking about or not. It's neither here nor there. We'll have an answer for you.
That's right. And I can guarantee you that I'm not always right.
I am.
Yes, Cliff is. He keeps everything down.
Always right. Always right. No matter what.
Yes. Even if he's wrong, he's right.
That's right.
See?
If you don't agree that I'm right, you can argue with me about it, but I will win.
Yes.
I have the control. Actually, I don't. Here, you do.
That's right. I'm running the board. Huh? So anyway, 646-721-9887. Again, back to the topic I didn't really want to talk about, but since we're talking about it, then we'll talk about it. How do you feel about, how do you feel about the rallies that are going across the U.S.? I mean, the media is making a big deal out of it. We had it here locally in Eugene. But the thing is that even the president has said, and I got to give credit where credit's due. You know, the president actually had come out and said that, you know, it went through the courts. The reasonable doubt was relevant, and they rendered a verdict, and that's how our system works. Okay, would you agree with it or not? You know, the jury, the court has decided in Zimmerman's favor. So, how holding these vigils? I mean, what do you? And just, you know, coming out with justice for Trayvon. I mean, what are you actually trying to accomplish? I mean, that they're going to go back and change their mind because you're having these vigils?
The thing is, I think they do think that. Some people are going out there, but most of these things that I've seen, they aren't. They're pacifist. They're quiet. They're not being nasty or mean or having big fights. Although some of them are, of course. But
right.
the majority of them are being very careful about what they're saying, and I don't mind that. To have something to say is fine. Of course, you're always going to say something about it when you're the underdog. You know, always got more to say when you're the underdog. You know, that would be sort of, I think, silly to have the Zimmerman people coming back out and having big. Things about how good we are and how we won, and you know that would be, you don't expect that to happen. But the down guy, the guy who's on the bottom of the thing, and now in this particular case, not literally because he was on the top, but he's the one that's the person who lost is the one that's going to say something about it, and I would expect it. I would expect him to say something about it because you know it didn't go your way, so. Well, of course you had something to say about it, but to make a big thing about it at this particular point, I watched that most of that trial as it was going on, and I thought that the judge did a good job. She listened, and there were a lot of times that people, commentators on the radio, on the television, would say something about what they thought she would do, and then she didn't do it. But she's the one who's got all the information. She's the one who's gathering the information that she's supposed to pay attention to, and she did pay attention. She did listen. She was very careful, and I think she did a very good job.
I agree, and just like a. Got a conversation going on in the chat room by the Blog Talk Radio /KRVN is emphasize that this whole thing was basically treated by the media as a hate crime, you know, not looking at the facts and you know, portraying Trayvon Martin, you know, showing his picture as him being, you know, like 10 years old or something like that for the sympathy of, you know, poor little kid.
Well, they treated it like a hate crime. What do you think it is when you've got a hold of a guy and got a hold of his head and you're bashing it against the sidewalk? That isn't hate? I mean, I sort of think that is.
Well, and one of the questions, I mean, I don't want to get in too much on the actual details of the case, but one of the questions that came up is that Trayvon Martin, I believe, and correct me if I'm wrong, when he was being followed by Zimmerman, called his girlfriend. Why didn't he call 911 if he wasn't doing anything? If he thought that he was in danger, instead of turning around and confronting the person that's following him.
Well, it was Zimmerman who called 911. It was not somebody else. It was Zimmerman who called for help.
Right.
And,
but Martin is my point.
What?
Trayvon Martin didn't call. He called his girlfriend. They didn't call 911 if he felt that Martin was in danger. If Martin thought he was in danger, which is why I believe he turned around and attacked Zimmerman, then, you know, if somebody's stalking you, wouldn't one of the first things you want to do is either get the hell out of there or call 911 and get the cops on the way and go, hey, I think I'm being followed?
One would think. Of course, remember, he is black. He is in a neighborhood that's not the greatest. And when you call 911, do you have any possible expectation of somebody getting there, somebody doing something? I mean, how many times do you call 911 and anything happens? That's the problem, I think, that a lot of people have. We didn't see, and that's the thing that Obama did not help.
Right.
I mean, he didn't have any answers or any logic behind what he went on the air and said, and consequently, he didn't help things. He didn't put things in the right position and the different because he, you know, our problem is in the black neighborhoods or in that, I don't know, it's not necessarily black in that neighborhood. It just, I guess.
It didn't help the case. He put a bias on the case. You know, like I've always said, we wouldn't even have heard of this. We wouldn't even be talking about it now. We'd be talking about Detroit, for example, trying to declare bankruptcy, and yet there are some courts saying that they can't, you know, which more affects more people in Detroit versus the few people that this case in actuality affects. But like I said, if it wasn't for the big mouth in the White House, we wouldn't even be discussing this right now.
We won't go into the fact that I think one of the reasons the big mouth in the White House is the way he is because he is from Illinois.
Actually, I think I should make a T-shirt that says that.
I almost agree with that, I tell you. I mean, there's a problem with Illinois. There's a different mindset of the people that come out of Illinois.
Well, and again, I'm not going to put down a whole state because, you know, that's putting everybody in one block. But no, I just think, like I said, we need to rethink things when we come up into the next election. We need to really look closer at who we're looking at and put back the higher standards on the role of the federal government and especially, you know, the role of the people in the executive branch of what we expect of them, what's appropriate, what's not appropriate, and be more demanding. And, you know, yeah, I'm sorry you feel personally like you need to come out and say something, but when you have, you know, the president, all he has to do is speak anywhere, and it's national news. And he needs to with great power comes great responsibility, to quote Stan Lee.
And he hasn't been any indication of how he can handle that responsibility. Just none at all. He just opens his big mouth and out comes whatever he thinks at the moment.
Well, I agree. And you know, that's how you can tell when, you know, it's scripted or not.
Really? I mean, the thing is, he didn't have to do this. He opened his mouth in the beginning and said something, and that was bad enough. I really thought he was going to keep his mouth shut. But this just proves to me that the man is not capable of the position he's in. He's not capable of presidency. He's not able to do that and do it logically. And the only thing that's kept him there is other people who have put him there. And the entire Democrat Party is going to hurt because of this, I think. They're going to be the ones that I certainly really assume we're going to have a Republican president next. Because if we have a Democratic president, it's going to have to be something totally different than what we've been before. And do they have? And of course, as I say, I just went and looked. They don't have anybody to run. They don't have anybody even interested.
Well, let me ask you this: since we're kind of back to the elections thing again, is that do you think that the generation coming up, you know, the new voters or whatever? I hear a lot of people that aren't interested in politics. I mean, more people should. I mean, a lot of people, you know, are more interested in trying to get through life or their party or whatever, their own little thing, and they're not really interested in politics or are doing the research, unless, like, say, you're a free Obama phone or something like that. Kind of going back to, like, my friend of mine when I was talking to her about Memorial Day and what is it and why should she care? Do you think the fact that do you believe that more people are becoming disinterested or are removed from local events or federal or politics altogether.
No, I don't. It's been that way since the beginning of time. Kids, especially getting out of school, they aren't as interested in politics. They aren't interested in who's going to be president. They aren't even interested in people in their own community very much, unless it affects them and the school system and something like that. Then they'll be interested, but they're not interested. And as they get older and as they get news, read the news or hear the news or watch the news or whatever they're going to do to the news, if they do, they're going to be more and more involved in the community around them. And then they finally get involved in the larger community around them. And that's just the way things are, because when you're out of school and when you're getting out of school and becoming adult, you just don't care. You've got too many things on your mind. And there's so many times that's one of my problems. I didn't care about anything. I didn't even worry about money. I figured, what the heck? I can work forever. Unfortunately, that can't happen. Somewhere along the line, you've got to save a little money and do something to protect yourself. And I didn't. And it's, you know, a lot harder to get along when you don't. But if I'd have had any smarts at all, I'd have put aside some money. I'd have done this. I'd have done that. And there's a lot of things looking back at it, I should have done. But it's always looking back at it that you get to see it. You don't see it when you're looking forward.
Oh, I agree. But, you know, like nowadays, compared to when you and I were growing up, we have more information now at our fingertips than we did back then. So, you know, we don't have to rely on like the alphabet news services to give us what's going on. I mean, even if we have the options now to look at the news services overseas to find out what's going on over here, and sometimes it's a lot different. But again, it still takes the time to get off your Facebooks and Twitters and actually get involved and do your research. But again, how many people really care unless it personally affects them?
Well, that's the thing. It doesn't personally affect them as a general rule. And until it does, they're not too interested. And it is not going to affect them when they're that young. When they get older and more involved with the world, then it'll start affecting you. And you know, because when you're not as interested in getting welfare or any other kind of thing when you're young. When you start needing it or you start thinking about it, then you're going to start thinking about what the government is doing to protect you, and then you start looking into the government and you look into things. And as far as having way more availability, you know, everything is available in front of a screen. I mean, we've always had that. We've had newspapers. We've had the radio. I mean, radio played a much bigger part in what you heard and what you knew about than I, it's been interesting. I listen to these old-time radio shows on a regular basis when I go to bed at night, and it's amazing how many of the things they talk about that we're still talking about today. I mean, it's exactly the same things. And so it's not something that's new. It's just the same old thing over and over and over again. It's just the people that you and me, are in touch with, they're changing.
And also, like I mentioned earlier about the interpretations, you know, I went and actually looked at the transcripts of Obama's speech, you know, to be fair, and read the whole thing. And the opinion that I walked away with reading that was not the opinion that I was seeing coming out of some other news services. You know, they interpret it. The interpretation is a lot different. That's why I like to go to the source as much as possible. On the other side of the coin, like our local newspaper here, sometimes they allow you to comment on an article. Sometimes they don't. A lot of times, if it's a controversial article, they don't give you the option to comment, and you know, put heads up to people that maybe they're off base.
Well, that's something that's kind of interesting that's happened recently, is this comment business on the Internet when you go to their websites. And I like reading some of those comments. Some of those comments are really quite interesting. And I don't know. You can't say that the newspaper or whatever it was has to let you comment on it. But I think they're going to get a lot more people paying attention to it if they do.
Well, or at least looking into it further, because you're asking questions. And that's what we need to do a lot more. We need to ask questions, not take anything at face value. or everything at face value.
Well, the only problem with that, of course, is that you've got everybody has a different question, and everybody hears when you hear a story, you hear it differently. I mean, just like you're saying, you're not listening. You're reading the thing, and you get more out of it. You get a different thing out of it than everybody else does, or you get a different thing out of it than most people do. But you know, who's right? You or they are? They both are. And so, the questions would never end. Is that's what I'm trying to say, I guess.
Right. Well, questions are good. The other thing that's good too is that the feedback, for example. There is a, I think her name is Joanne Perkins or something similar on Facebook. She's running for Senate. And one of the things, I haven't done too much research on her, haven't had the time, but one thing that I've been very impressed with her is that even though she has a Facebook page, she's reading and responding to people asking questions directly.
That's the one thing where I think we haven't learned how to use the internet as good as we could, is because that's a place, you know, how many different discussions have we used the internet for? In other words, if you went online and opened up for discussion something, you could get a lot of people. The thing is, you'd have to do some sort of advertising for it to make it work. In other words, we've done things on the radio. For example, some people go on the radio and ask questions and talk to people on the radio. But I think we could use the internet for this a lot better than we could anything else, because the only problem I see with the internet is that it is open to anyone. I mean, you'd have questions from all over the world. Some of them be weird.
Exactly. And well, anyways, and I know it'd be kind of hard for anybody, especially once they get into office, to answer all the questions or personally look at it. It could take forever to do that, which is why you have the staff. But it is a way to kind of get people's opinions and more of a direct communication of your constituents. And that's one of the things that really gets me angry is Harry Reid, for example, on this filibuster bill that he's trying to get through. When anybody up there in Washington says, the American people want, how do you know?
Well, see, that's the problem. I'm saying the American people want. Only a few of the American people does he know about what they want. In other words, he may be very true. He may have gone back to his own constituency and talked to 80 people, and 80 people said they want this and they want that, and went back and says the American people won. That may not be at all what the American people actually want. That just is those 80 people. And who are those 80 people? He went and talked to people that probably he knows, or how did he pick who he talked to? How did he pick who he decided that the American people want? I mean, there's so many different answers to that, and unless there's a specific way set up to do it, it doesn't mean anything.
Exactly. In fact, I don't want you to give the answer out, but I'll put this challenge out to our listeners out there. If you even know what a filibuster is and why Harry Reid is so why it's so important to Harry Reid, send us an email and we'll read that on the air next week. But like I said, don't give him the answer, but let him look it up. But you know, because most people, I had to go look up what a filibuster is. I didn't know what it was.
I don't know the guy personally, but.
But like I said, don't give out the answer. We'll make that our homework for our listeners.
As I say, I haven't met Phil myself. So. Anyway, it's interesting. Yeah, I'll agree. There's again an awful lot. You know, as I say, if you want to give us a call, 646-721-9887. Give us a call, and I'll have an answer. Now, again, it's just like everybody else. I have an answer for everything. They may not even remotely do anything to the question, but I'll have an answer. And that's the problem most people have. They have all the answers. They don't even know what the questions are.
Right. Exactly. That's how they get elected.
I wasn't talking about the election. I was talking about the general public, but that is the same thing, yeah.
Yeah, pretty much. One of the things that we did want to kind of touch on a little bit, because we started out talking about Zimmerman and got off onto other topics, which is common for this program. Like I said in the beginning of the program, we really didn't want to talk about Zimmerman, and I guess we didn't. But I did want to touch on briefly getting back to Detroit and their bankruptcy and the fact that Detroit, which used to be the automotive capital of the world, I believe, but now it's now they're facing bankruptcy. And
well, and it still may be the automotive capital of the world, but and most of the automotive companies are not doing that bad. It's the rest of the industry in Detroit that's doing bad at the moment.
Right.
And mostly the biggest industry that's doing bad is the government.
Well, that's the point, is that it says that the Detroit was one of the fourth largest city in the U.S. And how would a large city like that be facing bankruptcy? And it all gets back down to, like you're saying, I don't think it's the individual. I mean, the cities like say Eugene, for example, or even Oregon, the state, they're all hurting for money, and they're finding out any way they can raise money, fees, taxes, or however else. But it's just, in my opinion, it's the mismanagement of money which puts them into that deficit.
That's right. And the thing is, this being the state, they don't want to manage the money differently. They want to continue to mismanage the money. They just want us to pay for it, which is what they're going into bankruptcy is going to do. That means that they're just going to say, okay, we spent all this money. We promised you all this money. Now try and get it.
Exactly. In fact, going back to the White House speaking up. Now, in this case, I can understand the White House speaking out because, you're talking about a U.S. city. It says the White House weighed in with Press Secretary Jay Carney saying Detroit's bankruptcy would work out between the city's leaders or would be worked out between the city's leaders and creditors, but that the federal government would look for ways to help. Okay, but of course, again, it's kind of interesting that the Obama didn't comment on that, at least not that I see yet, but I guess it comes back under priorities. If it affects something to do with race, well, Obama's going to open his mouth, but a major city going bankrupt, yeah.
Well, the thing that I get upset about is we forget one thing. He said the federal government will help. Who is the federal government?
Oh, that'd be us. Well, it used to be us.
I'm getting damn tired of this will help constantly. Everything that happens, we'll bail them out. We'll take care of it. We'll do it. I mean, everybody has decided that we'll declare bankruptcy and we'll just say to hell with you. We don't have to pay our bills. I mean, that's becoming a smaller city. What was it, Fresno, who did it a few weeks ago, and we just ignored it. But now it's a bigger city. Now we're gonna let big major cities declare bankruptcy? No, you can't do that. You can't. We've got to change people who are running that city, maybe, and change how they do it. And it's hard, maybe, because some of the things that we'd like to have paid for aren't going to be paid for. There may be some school issues that are not going to be paid for because we don't have the money in the bank and different things, different bonds and things that are not going to be paid for. But the city itself, City of Detroit, is going to have to set up and take responsibility for it. We can't declare bankruptcy and pass it off to everybody else. It's already affected everybody else. Everybody else is already in trouble. People are finding hard to get a job. When they do get a job, even in the automotive industry, which is doing okay, they don't make as much money as they used to. I mean, it's hurting everybody. And yet they want to go on and file bankruptcy and beat us to death more. It's getting a little tiresome.
Well, it's not just that. I mean, all these people that are rallying, justice for Trayvon Martin, what about people of Detroit? And here's, again, this is according to the LA Times. It says that even without the bankruptcy filing, public employees are stretched thin. Detroit has the highest rate of violent crimes of any city with more than 200,000 people. The average police response time is 58 minutes this year compared to an average of 11 minutes nationally. The city has about 11,000 fires a year, and so the fire department lacks the equipment ordinarily regarded as standard. They're saying that some of their fire trucks are broken. They don't have the money to fix them. So, I mean, where's the maybe we're not hearing it because we're not part of the, you know, we're over here on the West Coast. But where's the national cry over that, or within the city itself? I mean, I would hope that, like, if it happened here in Eugene, that people would be rallying to demand that, you know, we're paying taxes for these services. We demand the services.
Well, you can demand and be damned if you want to, because if there's no money there and there's nobody there to do it, and you haven't hired the right people, hired the people, not just the right people, but you haven't hired the cops and the firemen and things like that, it's just not there. And so you're going to have to, as individuals, as citizens, it's about time you step up and do something about it. And that doesn't mean yelling at somebody else that they haven't done it. Means that you need to do it. If there's a fire, you need to put it out. If there's somebody being beat up, you need to step in and do something about it. Maybe this is the whole reason why we need to have people like Zimmerman. Maybe it's to pay attention and you know, you say that Trayvon Martin was just out walking and had calling his girlfriend and that sort of thing. Supposedly, I was under the impression that Trayvon Martin had already been found in other people's homes and already been found having broken in and done bad things before. So, you know, maybe we need more people paying attention. That's the main thing. We don't have people paying attention, and we need more people paying attention.
Exactly. Well, things are going to have to change to get better, and who knows how it's going to go.
Well, I think it's going to go there in the 2016 when the next election comes around. I think a lot of things are going to change, and I certainly hope they are. But I said that for the last election, and I was very disappointed.
Well, yeah, again, like you say, we'll see what happens. But, you know, again, it's about priorities, and everybody acts emotionally instead of doing their homework, and, you know, they take everything off the news sound bites.
Well, this business of Detroit declaring bankruptcy, I don't believe they should be allowed to declare bankruptcy. I think they should be held responsible for what they do. There's no way that cities should be declare bankrupts. No way states should be able to declare bankruptcy. For that matter, I don't really think much of anybody should be able to declare bankruptcy. You're responsible for having borrowed that money in the first place, and if you can't be held responsible for it, then you shouldn't be in that position to be able to borrow that kind of money. And maybe we better take a closer look at who we allow to run things, whether it be corporations or cities or states or what.
Well, like say things, well, sometimes unless there's disasters or, you know, like, who knows, unless it affects people personally, people aren't going to really care or get involved.
That's the thing. It's going to start to affect, reflecting people personally. It's going to start affecting all of us, and that's when we're going to start doing something.
Speaking of affecting all of us, we are, by the way, out of time. Once again, we talked about a whole bunch of different things that sometimes even related to the title thing. Reminder that we will be changing our day of broadcast. We won't be on this Saturday, but we'll be changing to Wednesday, starting next Wednesday. Not this coming Wednesday, but the Wednesday after at the same time, 1 p.m. Pacific time.
Sounds good to me. I'll be here.
So hope everybody enjoyed the summer day, and we'll see you soon.
Have a good day.
Check us out on the internet at www.krbnradio.com or email us with your show ideas at talk@krbnradio.com. This is KRBN Internet News Talk Radio.